You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Beatonoff coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We're moving things around just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Changing the lineup, but it is Thursday. He would normally join us a little bit later, but we're going to talk anyway, all things sports with the Acme Packing Company sports guru, Paul Noonan. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, let's talk everyone off the ledge or not about Giannis and will he stay or will he go? This, I mean, what's going on with Giannis? Where are we today?
Giannis watch.
We've definitely entered the Aaron Rodgers portion of Giannis's career as a Buck, and I think this is all rumor and innuendo. A lot of rumors are out there. So just to cover the rumors are that Giannis has scraped his social media of all but two pictures of him as a Buck, them being from the championship era. A lot of guys do this before they demand a trade. That he suffered an injury last night that we don't know what it is yet. He had an MRI. It was non-contact. They've ruled out an Achilles, which is good. If it's anything serious, he's not going to get traded. If it is not serious, then maybe he's still on the table. And there is some reporting out there that he has already asked for a trade, specifically from the Knicks. The Bucks deny this. Doc Rivers denies this. Who knows? It's also very possible that Giannis would just not publicly ever demand a trade, but would kind of imply that maybe things are wrapping
up a little
bit
here. He'd be okay with
that? Yeah. And so the reason that this is all coming to the fore right now is, first of all, the Bucks are not in a good space in terms of where they rank in the Eastern Conference. They're 10th. They've been terrible without Giannis. It doesn't look like the roster is very good. And up until this year, the Bucks have had ammunition to add around Giannis. Sometimes it's worked, sometimes it hasn't, like with Damian Lillard, but they've been able to do something. At this point, they are tapped out. They signed Miles Turner in the offseason. They're up against the cap. They don't have any draft picks left to trade. They can't just throw money at anybody. And I think to any neutral observer, it really looks like the Bucks are kind of not contenders anymore and won't be for the foreseeable future. And, you know, it's hard to ask a star to stick around for mediocrity for any length of time. You know, unless you're LeBron James, you can't play forever.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, they almost all demand out. There's also nothing the national media likes more than wish casting Giannis out of Milwaukee. And so we should take all of this with a grain of salt there too. Shams Charania has had this rumor a zillion times at this point. So no one really knows, but I think it is factually true that there's a good chance the era of the Bucks competing for a title with Giannis is probably over. There's just not a lot that they can bring to the table at this point. And so if he does ask for a trade or get shipped off, I don't think it'll be that surprising.
I want to pull Calvin right into this conversation because
Calvin should be in it.
We talked about this yesterday when the social media story, quote unquote, broke. And then we heard reports after the fact. So, Calvin, you had some thoughts before yesterday and today. What are your thoughts knowing now what you know?
Look.
He started with look, folks. All right.
He very well might be traded. If that happens, I will say, okay, it was always a possibility. That being said, when he's still on the team after the All-Star break, I think we need to evaluate how the media covers Giannis. Now, this might be leaking into nostalgia a little bit. I don't think Shams does have a pretty good record. He's accurate a lot of the times. I've preferred Adrian Wojnarowski, his predecessor, I think was a better journalist. I think Shams kind of
a sham.
He goes for the sensationalism a lot. He goes for like what's going to get clicks? And that's just kind of the modern media. So I don't trust anonymous sources, especially coming from him.
I would agree with all of that. Shams is definitely in it for the clicks, and more than doing, there's no good, even anonymous sources on this, to be perfectly honest. It is all just speculation. So, and this is not the first time people have wanted to have Giannis trade scenarios pop up, for sure. I would just say, like, at some point, they're going to be right. Every year that goes on, they get more likely to be correct. This is his age 31 season. He is not a young man. People don't age like LeBron either. Like, you know, every year that goes by, he becomes a less valuable asset for the Bucks. And if they don't look like they're going to be able to compete for the next 3 or 4 years, it gets more likely. So, he has a decent record. I just think this season, it seems like it might be possible. If they don't turn things around, and I kind of don't think they will. I won't be surprised if I had to put money on it right now. By the way, don't bet on sports, but if I had to put money on it right now, I would actually bet he is traded this year. That would be where my money is. It's high value for the Bucks. They don't appear to be very good, and he's not going to get more valuable as time goes on.
If you're just joining us on Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network, we're talking to Paul Noonan, who is a writer for the Acme Packing Company, comes by every other Thursday, and we are talking about the extended wider rumors of a traded Giannis from the Milwaukee Bucks. And as a non-basketball like follower, as a basketball non-follower, I don't know how you say that, but the point is, I want to take a 30,000 foot view from this. Since 2021, why has it been that, and this might be an easy answer for you to give, but like, it feels like, you know, we won a world championship. Why is it that, you know, whether it's Damian Lillard, all these moves we've made that have made people so excited, the Bucks have just seemed to stumble and bumble every single season, not performing up to expectations. And it just feels like, I don't know, like, if I'm Giannis, I think I'm looking too, because it's just every season it's the same, like, we're starting strong, it's and so then close. We just, and it's just never, it's not even like bad. It's not even, you know, oh my God, this was a miserable in the bottom of the barrel Bucks. It's just not up to par. Why do you think that is with all these big moves they've made over the years?
Well, a lot of it is all the big moves they've made over the years. The way that you should compete in the NBA, you need stars for sure. You need a couple of them to actually win. A lot of this goes back to Chris Middleton just breaking down and not being able to count on him to be that second star. Like, it goes back to what they had to give up to get Lillard, and the fact that he was already not washed, but prone to be injured as well. But the Bucks front office should take a lot of heat for this, because this is the NBA actually is set up the best of all leagues for small markets to keep their stars. If you have a hard salary cap, it's very difficult. Like, players, if they can only make a certain amount of money, tend to like to live in New York and Los Angeles and places that aren't Milwaukee. And the NBA actually allows exceptions to pay your stars more than anybody else can, to allow small markets to pay, to outbid Los Angeles and New York. And so when this happens, when you run out of talent around a guy, it's because you made incorrect moves. You made incorrect bets on trying to replace or at least supplement Middleton with Lillard, on throwing picks and big money after guys that are just okay. On, like, the Middleton-Kuzma trade looks terrible in retrospect, even though Chris is probably kind of washed as well. You're not going to win with Kuzma. Like, he's not the part of that. And they just stack these up year after year, trying to chase a guy, trying to get hot with another star of some kind. And it's cost them. It's cost them every first-round pick they have for years and years and years. It's cost them every ounce of cap flexibility they have. And, you know, not every team gets this wrong. They have gotten it wrong. So that's why the bumbling happened. Once Middleton started to break down, it set off a chain reaction of them trying to replace him every way possible, with older guys, with broken guys, with young guys who aren't as good as they thought. And this is where we find ourselves now.
Man, Kevin, we'll go to you in just a second. I feel badly, and I understand that 31 for a professional athlete is getting old, but I feel like they sound like cars. You drive it off the lot and you've already lost money. It's like, that's really kind of a shame. Calvin.
Yeah, I guess I will acknowledge the Bucks have had disappointing seasons and they have not always performed to what they should have, but I would like to put a little bit of perspective around like who wins NBA championships. There is more parity in the NBA right now than probably any other professional sports league except maybe the NFL. In the last 7 years, 12 different teams have gone to the NBA Finals and 7 different teams have won the NBA championship. It's not like the Bucks are like can't compete with dynasties. A new team is showing up every year.
Well, and I'm not like that isn't my point is not to say that the Bucks are bad or it's just from a non-spectator perspective. Usually there's some kind of like, you know, all right, they won this championship. They usually do well, or there's some sort of momentum that happens. But it just seems like every time I see a big headline coming out from the Bucks, it's a huge trade. People get really excited. It never seems to pan out even past a season, let alone producing a run in the playoffs, which is, I believe, a Doc Rivers problem that has been discussed, but also it does not produce rings. So it's me more trying to understand. And the NBA, like, I mean, there's so much happening. And you guys have said, along with JR, it's like nothing really matters until after the All-Star, and it doesn't really even matter that until the playoffs. So
we only have a couple of minutes left, Paul. I just real briefly, do the Bears still suck or not?
They don't. It pains me to report. So they're not this good. We have a lot of ways to tell like how good a football team really is versus their record. They're over their skis by about 3 games. They've gotten lucky. They're 6-1 in one score games. Their schedule's been pretty easy. And normally I would say that team is a little bit of a fraud. However, the Bears have, I think, really improved in a couple ways. Their run game in particular, an offensive line, is loads better than it was last year. And they've gotten healthy. They got Jalen Johnson back at cornerback last week. He is not only their best defensive player, but one of the best defensive players in football. They've been a slightly below average defense without him. They are probably a pretty well above average defense with him. They got back a few other secondary members as well. They're not a perfect team. The Packers should still win this game, but they're close enough.
I know, right?
They're close enough in terms of talent that it's not, it is by no means a sure thing. Yeah. If the Bears jumped up and got them, I wouldn't be surprised. I think the game I would look to if I was the Packers is actually their loss to Carolina, where they lost to a team that also has a short quarterback like Caleb Williams, also runs the ball exceptionally well and can't really pass that well. And they got run over by Rico Dowdle for like 100 and something yards and ended up losing that game. The Bears should probably copy that. There's a good chance they will because Ben Johnson, their head coach, is very smart. He has had the Packers number a little bit when he was the offensive coordinator for the Lions. So,
Paul Noonan is the sports guru for the Acme Packing Company. You can follow him there. Thank you so very much, Paul. Really appreciate it. Go Pack.
Thanks, all. Go Pack.
See what happens when we return. Saying goodbye to an East Side Milwaukee institution. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Good morning, live stream. On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, coming up after the 10:30 news. Part of our management leadership team here at Civic Media, Aaron Carreno, is going to join us for a little audio sorbet.
And a pal that goes back.
We go back a long way. Aaron was an intern for me.
Oh, my gosh.
At a previous radio station.
Back in my day.
Back in the olden days. Gosh, I hope I was nice to him.
I think you
were. We'll find out.
Based on the stories you've told him about past partners, you at the very least, you were the nice one.
Hopefully I was nicer.
There you go.
That would be good. Aaron Carreno joining us after 10:30. Wanted to just spend a little time about this. This makes me sad.
Yeah.
And I know for a lot of Eastsiders on the east side of Milwaukee, very sad about this. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Rachel Bernhard, after 52 years, Beans and Barley is closing on Milwaukee's east side. It has been there forever.
Mm-hmm.
Beans and Barley on the east side of Milwaukee since 1973. Really started off as just a deli, apparently, and then went into more groceries and lots of prepared foods. And then they started offering menu items. Restaurant. You and Bridget used to go there.
We used to go there every, this goes to show our age. We used to go there like every Saturday or Sunday for brunch. And then when the wait became too long, we just get there when they opened to have breakfast because we didn't want to wait in line and we wanted a booth. But yeah, now, actually, it's weird as you say that. I'm thinking, like, to me, Beans and Barley, I immediately think restaurant, but then I'm like, no, there's a diner table for coffee. There's a deli that you can get meat. There's groceries. You can buy knickknacks and stuff. Like there's,
yeah, I understand they have a great card, really unique cards and really unique gifts.
So there's a
like
lot
that.
Going on in there, and that's going to be really, really. That's a shame. That
it is a shame.
Closing.
The building that Beans and Barley is in has been sold. It listed for $2.2 million. And one of the people with Beans and Barley says we just aren't in a position to buy it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And so it remains to be seen what's going to happen there. But Beans and Barley currently employs 70 people.
I'm hoping that maybe new location, something. You know, I mean, I'm not asking for the whole kit and caboodle, but it would be nice to, I mean, the food there was really good, and I'm hoping that there's something, but I don't know nowadays. It's just, it feels like everyone, you know, what, you know, we've talked about from a political end, the COVID is still having an impact, the shutdown still having an impact.
Yeah.
I should say the lockdown.
The lockdown. Yeah. I mean, that's not a small thing. We're only a couple of years out from that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, again, I think we have collective amnesia when it comes to the COVID years.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And a lot of restaurants still fighting their way back from that.
Mm-hmm.
Beans and Barley, just one of many East Side restaurants around North Avenue to shut down in recent months. Back in May, the Crossroads Collective Food Hall shut down. In July, an Italian restaurant closed. Also, Izzy Hops closed in October.
Mm.
In August, Triple Tap Room announced its closure. The current people who own Beans and Barley say they hope their customers will come in. They're going to be open until the end of January.
Okay.
And yet again, it remains to be seen what's going to go into that space. There's really no other grocery option, is there?
There's
a Whole Foods.
Yeah.
But not everyone can shop at Whole Foods.
Well, I'm not disparaging those who are. Beans and Barley wasn't exactly the most inexpensive place to shop by. It was an independent small grocery store.
True.
So, and there is a level of wealth in that neighborhood, and at least there are options for a grocery store for something there for the people in that area. But yeah, I mean, it's not a landmark, but it was a thing that was, people went there all the time. It was always busy when I went.
Well, and a really kind of a center of the community,
mm-hmm.
that little East Side community.
Yep.
Very much a community meeting space.
It's very much a, thing, not a thing of the past, but as North Avenue has changed over the years and restaurants have changed and closed down, and the BBC was once there, now it's a brewing company, and they're building more housing. It was just, it's sad. I'll be interested to see what's going to go in its place.
Yeah, me too.
I'm hoping there's something that's serviceable to the community, but you never know. And there's also an entire bar thing underground too. So it's a big building.
Nine Below is in the basement.
Yeah.
The people who run Beans and Barley own Beans and Barley. They're just urging folks to support small businesses.
Yes.
Restaurants, retailers, performing mm-hmm. arts, anything that you can do. They need the help.
Put your dollars in the community. They stay in the community. You're investing, and that's really all. That's all we can ask. But it just shows that when you patronize small business, it helps everyone.
Absolutely. Jenny on the live stream, seeing that restaurants are one of the riskiest business opportunities to take and typically shut down within a year, 40 plus years of Beans and Barley is something to be celebrated, no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. So again, stop in if you're in around Milwaukee's east side.
I'm going to do that, yeah.
Stop in, Beans and Barley. They're going to be open now until the end of January.
The biscuits and gravy.
Oh, biscuits and gravy. Yeah. Sounds good. News is coming up next, and then Aaron Carino with Civic Media's leadership team will be here. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, even though you can't see him.
Hi.
Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. This is the portion of the show that we call Audio Sorbet, where we get away from the news and take a breath, lighten things up. Little cleansing.
We clean your ears with fun.
Thank you, Greg.
You're Bach. Welcome.
My last show on the air is a week from tomorrow.
Oh.
December 12th. So we're switching things up a little bit. We're going to have special guests for the rest of this week and next week. And joining us now live in studio, part of Civic Media's management team, Aaron Carino is here. Good to see you.
It is really good to see you, and it's really good to be back here in Milwaukee and Racine and back in, like, my hometown area, right?
This is where you started out.
Sure is.
We go back a very, very, very long way.
I think there's a question which needs to be asked because we've been talking about it during the show. Now, as I've been made aware, Aaron, you were this. Jane was, like, the first person you worked with. Like, you were an intern.
Yeah, so one day, I'm a UWM student. I was continuing my education at UWM, and I'm driving around the Hale Interchange, and I called the mix, and I got an internship because someone happened to be in the studio on a Saturday.
Wow.
And his name was Tony. He's like, hey, come on in.
Tony
Lorino? We can use you in the morning. Tony Lorino. He goes, you could be an intern on the morning show. Come on in.
Is that how things just work back then?
And so I walked in, and it was one. It's surreal because I grew up in Sheboygan County and I grew up listening to Milwaukee radio my whole life. Mm-hmm. I grew up listening to every station you can imagine. I was one of those. I didn't know that I would do this for a living. But Jane, you were one of those people that I had just admired as a young, who knew I would be a broadcaster, right?
Just a
sprout. And so walking in the door and knowing that I was going to be interning on your show, well, it's kind of intimidating, to be honest with you, but that's how it all started. 2008?
Was it 2008? Wow.
Yeah, 2008.
Wow.
And the question that's been asked, or the hope that Jane has in her heart, she hopes that she was nice to you.
I hope I wasn't mean to you.
Oh, you were my favorite.
Oh. He has to say that because he's sitting across the table from me.
You kind of told me you're not going to be pushed around by any of these people here. You were very, very kind to me. And although it was a long time ago, I was just so excited just to have the chance to do something.
That's really sweet of you. That's really sweet. I just remember because I had a lot of partners when I was at the mix. I had 9. And I actually had to write them down the other day so I would get them in the right order because some of them.
I'll write a song for just like all of Jane's partners.
Yeah, some of them only lasted a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
But so you came in at the very end. You came in 2008, they let me go in 2009.
Well, so I came in as an intern, and then what was the financial crisis shortly thereafter?
Yes.
And they laid a lot of people off in the business. And so I was wondering if I would even have a chance to do this for a living. But then they needed somebody to really kind of produce the show with you.
Yep.
And so I got an hourly rate, and that was my first real paycheck. I think I made $21.50 on my first pay period.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
But it was something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you had me go out to Water Street on St. Patrick's Day, or I was getting audio, and I was doing all the intern things.
Well, you send them out. Go get go do this thing. Go cover this thing.
Yeah.
We need sound from here.
Yeah.
That's why you have interns.
So it was intern Aaron. So it was fun.
Intern Aaron.
That's how
that's
it all
right.
started.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then now we've come full circle, and now we're back together at Civic Media. And you are the one who had called me.
It's wild. I have 3 distinct memories with Jane.
Okay.
That I wanted to share, and I'll share them quickly because I can be long-winded. The first one is being able to be in the studio helping work on your show was one surreal, but then two, I'm like, holy cats, she created the Pacarena. That was like the first.
Well,
she was partially responsible for it.
I was part of the group that made the Pacarena. It wasn't just me.
I know, no one's saying it was just you, but you are, just take it.
That was like, wow, like this is really happening. And then two, it was, I had been working for another radio station after I'd been laid off in 2020. I kind of went on my own. And I remember reaching out to you. I think I sent you a text message and said, hey, I don't know what they're doing at Civic, but do you think there could be a benefit if I were to help out?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we spoke for probably a good hour.
Easily.
And you convinced me to reach out to Sage, our CEO, and kind of the rest is history.
And now here he is.
You're creating songs, you're creating memories, you're creating job opportunities. My goodness.
Did I not tell you to go into brain surgery? No,
I should've.
Sure I didn't tell you to go into some other job?
I think you said careful what you wish for.
That sounds like something I would say.
Yeah.
The third memory I have was once I worked here and was offered a full-time role, which I'm still to this day incredibly grateful for. I've had so much fun working here. Is we were at a holiday party.
Yes.
And we're out on the patio. It was late at night. We're out on the patio and we're just talking, catching up one-on-one. And I said, I really would love for you to have your own show. And we're talking through this and there was a really feel-good conversation. It was very late at night. And all of a sudden, I looked to my left and there was Sage.
Yes.
And I went, okay, conversation over. We're done. Time for bed.
Yeah, there had been several cocktails consumed by that point when we had that conversation.
Yeah. I imagine. Yeah.
But yeah. And then it came to be.
If that was the same place I was at, I went to bed like an hour and a half before all of you did. I was like, I had a piece of pizza, maybe half a drink. I went, well, I'm tired. I'm going back to the hotel. Yeah.
Yeah. We were just out there hanging out. And yeah. I was like, one of them, part of me was like, why is he awake right now? He should be away from all of this. But it's really great to, one, I appreciate you bringing me on as a guest here for this segment.
Delightful to have you
here. We're just
here.
So grateful for all that you've done and for you to go out and do whatever you want to do. I'm kind of like selfishly hoping that when Jane retires,
yeah,
you're reimagined as, you know, everybody when you were growing up had that favorite substitute teacher that would come in and everybody loved it.
Yeah.
When can you start becoming a substitute teacher for us?
Hey, I'm available anytime.
I'm retiring. What do I have to do?
Exactly. I'll have nothing but time on my hands.
Yeah.
I am happy to come in and scold anytime. My scolding is absolutely free. Anybody needs an extra mom that you never asked for, I'm available.
Check my text messages. Trust me, she can do it.
I do it because I worry about everybody.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
It's really fun, though, for me to watch this happening. Like, you know, I know you're retiring. It's sad, but it's also kind of joyous to watch us celebrate you and also meet the people who have been a part of your life for so long. Because for me personally, you've been a voice. And then I met you and then I worked with you and people would be like, oh my gosh, you're working with Jane? I'm like, yeah, yeah. And that's one of the things that's very, very fortunate for me. So to see people like Aaron and all the guests we're going to have next week, just sharing those tidbits. We'll talk more about the Pac Arena.
Yes.
But it's just really great to do this and let you go out in style.
Well, and I remain so grateful to Civic Media because, again, for people who are not in this industry, for a woman of my age, because I'm 65, mm-hmm. If I were cottage cheese, my expiration date is not encouraging. So
I don't know where you pulled that out of, but okay.
It's just true. And so for them to have given me this opportunity, I remain so grateful. So grateful. It just doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't happen for an older woman to be given this opportunity.
When I go back home to Plymouth, because I grew up in Plymouth, my mom has one of those old General Electric radios that had the really obnoxious alarm from like 1989. And she still has that on in her kitchen. If she has it on right now, hi, Mom.
Good morning, Mom.
Hope you're listening.
Hey, Mom.
As she goes over Thanksgiving, I'm home and she goes, oh, it's so good to see you. And she goes, why is Jane doing a live show on Thanksgiving? So she's your number one fan.
Oh, sweet.
First and foremost, she's been listening to you for your entire career. that's how I got to know you via radio. And as I got into this business, so the follow-up conversation at Thanksgiving was, she goes, I just love Jane. I said, well, that's great, Mom. It's great. I said, oh, I'm on in the afternoon. I know this. She goes, I'm listening to Jane.
Oh, well, I love you, son, but.
I don't, after 11, I've got to go to work.
Yeah.
I'm listening to Jane. It was made very clear to me that.
What her priorities
I know where,
are.
I know where her priorities are, oh, and I know where I stand.
That
so,
is
Jane,
so funny.
You are always welcome in our household.
There that is go. So funny, Aaron. It is interesting, though, to think about how you were a kid when you started listening to me.
Mm-hmm.
And now, people who were kids listening to me now have kids who are listening to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild to think about that. It is. And that I'm still here and I'm still employed. It's amazing.
I think it's great. I think it's to be celebrated. And you've said this before that you're going out on your terms. You're retiring. You're getting your last lap, if you will. But you know, as you've said, like, nope, they're not firing me. I'm leaving.
Well, and that's also a very rare opportunity. Yeah. And I'm thankful to Civic Media for that as well.
Yeah.
Allowing me to have the opportunity to have guests in like Aaron and other folks mm-hmm. who are going to come in next
Absolutely.
Week and spend some time talking about this. A lot of times radio companies don't do that.
Yeah.
It's a rarity.
You try to do the best things you possibly can. We're not always going to get it right.
Right.
That's just the nature of any
yeah.
business.
Right.
But I have told you from the moment they allowed me to work here, you know, I'm your number one fan, and I mean that as a friend. I care deeply about you having the best retirement possible, and all of this has to do with also you making sure that you get to leave and do the things you want to do in these next couple of weeks. And being a mentor to somebody like Greg or Calvin or anybody else in our company who looks up to you, they do. And your words matter, and we appreciate that.
Thank you for saying that, Aaron, because there was some moments of doubt that lasted about 21 hours.
Approximately.
And then the outpouring of love from the news and from everyone here and from everyone outside. Because, you know, there is a you know, you can ask that question. Did what I do have an impact?
Did it matter?
I think it's resounding. I think it's resounding. Yes. We've seen it on the live stream. We've seen it in the chat. We've seen it from Aaron and all the people who are going to come through next week. You have and will continue to have an impact.
Now I can die.
Oh. And so, that is trademark Jane Matinere.
You are the person when the waters get rocky and choppy, you're the consistent that says to people like Greg or anybody else or anybody who's a young broadcaster who sees things a little different, and we've had a little more experience, you've had more experience, you're going to look at those people and say, hey,
Take a breath. We got this.
It's all going to be okay.
Oh, yeah. I can think of situations where you're like the flight attendant. If you're not freaking out, I'm not freaking out.
Will I see you at MKE sometime soon?
I would love to work.
Why don't you have your real ID?
I would love to work at the visitor center.
You can volunteer.
I would love to work at Milwaukee Airport Visitor Center.
Yeah.
Ooh, maybe I'll do that.
Do you have your real ID? Why not? You had 5 years.
We told you about this for a really long time.
$45 now.
Aaron Carreno, thank you so very much, my friend.
Thank you, Jane.
Love you, my friend.
Appreciate you.
Love to your mom. Stay with us. We're going to wrap it up as we always do. This shouldn't be a thing. This too shall pass edition. It's coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinere on Air. Jane Matinere, Greg Bach, our resident young person, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our home at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Tomorrow is Friday already.
No way.
Yes, way. Tomorrow is Friday.
Man.
So Dan Schaefer will be here.
Darn right.
Civic Media's political editor, the creator of the Recombobulation Area. Also going to squeeze in a little talk about the Cookie Walk.
Okay.
That is going to be happening this weekend in Waukesha to help support the band program at
the
high school.
That's right.
We did talk about this. Yep, we talked to him last year. And this is a great way, if you live in Waukesha, the Waukesha area, to get out and help support the kids in band. these are programs that a lot of schools have had to cut and cut and cut and cut.
Yep.
Because of budget problems. And it's really important. These non-academic things.
These non-sports things, too.
Yeah, non-sports things, too, are very important. So join us for that. We're going to talk about the cookie walk coming up tomorrow during Audio Sorbet. Right now, though, Calvin, it is 10:54. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever have a thing you think this should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. That's also the best way to get in touch with us.
Mm-hmm.
If you have something you want on the show, if you want to get into contact with us, send it to janesays@civicmedia.us.
Absolutely.
Calvin found this one from the Associated Press. Charlotte Graham McClay with the byline, and the headline reads, New Zealand man accused of eating Fabergé pendant inspired by Bond movie as police wait for evidence.
Oh.
Police in New Zealand waiting for nature to take its course. After a man allegedly tried to smuggle a $33,000 pendant out of a jewelry store by swallowing it.
I now want to look up New Zealand dollar to the
yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
The 32-year-old man, not publicly named yet, accused of swallowing this ornate Fabergé octopus pendant last month. Evidence of the alleged theft has yet to emerge.
Oh, boy.
According to police. Quote, at the time of his arrest, he underwent a medical assessment. An officer assigned to constantly monitor the man.
That is a rookie, and he is in pain right now.
At this stage, the pendant has not been recovered. The man was arrested just inside the store just moments after he swallowed the octopus. The alleged pendant, or the alleged loot, a limited edition Fabergé egg pendant inspired by the Bond film Octopussy. Central to the film's plot, a jewel smuggling operation involving a fake Fabergé egg. The store's website says the egg, only 50 of which had been made, is made out of gold, painted with green enamel, with over 180 diamonds and sapphires. It's in the shape of an octopus, people.
That's really hard to
think
to
about
swallow.
That and pass.
A New Zealand accent is not exactly like an Australian accent. There are little tidbits. They're like, it's like a little higher.
It's different. I was in New Zealand.
It's different.
It's different. Yes.
It's not different. It's different.
Yes. That's pretty good,
Fabergé
actually.
Fabergé egg?
Yeah.
Swallow? Octopus?
You're doing
gross.
Pretty, doing
absolutely
pretty good.
Gross. We got to wait for that to drop.
Pass.
Pass.
Wet for it to pass. Yes, well, and the waiting continues. We'll let you know what the results are. If and when that happens, you may want, I don't know, octopus, maybe a tennis ball size or shape would have been better. I see problems with the octopus.
I can barely, like, if a piece of, like, turkey is too big, I'm like, nope, got to chew that a little bit more like a human. I mean, right. I just imagine, that just sounds so Keystone Cop fumbling comedy, like gulp and they swallow it and there's big eyes. Like, I couldn't met that is not even close to an option to me. If I'm stealing something, I'm gonna sooner just try to push through. I can't. It's craziness.
It was a nice try.
It's gonna hurt him.
Oh yes,
it's gonna do some damage.
Yes it is. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Yeah, maybe not the best way to try that heist. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media, because without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and watching on the live stream and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a very little bit, and you have the chance to share it. It's so important. Keep it right here. We have news coming up next. Tom Hartman will be coming up after the news. He's going to have two keywords for you in the 11 o'clock hour and the 1 o'clock hour. It is our grown-up gift list multi-state text-to-win contest. $200 up for grabs in the hours, the daily prize, and then three grand prizes as well. So stick around, be listening for that keyword coming up with Tom Hartman. Have a wonderful day and keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.